Welcome to the Leadership Experiment with Royce and Mia, where each week we grab a cocktail and chat about the things you won't hear around the leadership table. We're debating hot topics and interviewing some of the bravest leaders and brightest minds we know.
Okay, Mia, so I think where your disconnect is, or where we're disconnecting, is you want to tie goals and tasks to the overall mission, or that's what you're talking about in trying to get the teams together moving forward. But one of my favorite quotes, and I'm going to butcher the name, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, he says, if you want to build a ship, don't drum up people together to collect wood, and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. And so if we teach them to love the ocean, teach them to love what they're doing individually actually doesn't make a difference, you know. And even said on somebody that I can't pronounce, and I seem to get a lot of wisdom from Disney animated movies.
Yeah.
So from animation studio Moana, and I promise to the audience, I will not sing it, but see the line where the sky meets the sea, it calls me. And no one knows how far it goes. If the wind in my sail on the sea stays behind me, one day I'll know. If I go, there's just no telling how far I'll go. So that horizon line, it calls to you. That endless immensity of the sea. If the sea is calling to you and you've got a passion for it, it doesn't matter what you do, because you're going to get there. And one day you'll know how far you'll go, as long as you heed that call and get out there on the water. And that's what's important. So the goals, the tasks, the collecting wood, building boats, setting plans, testing, blah, 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 whatever. None of that's really important if you have that longing to get out there, or if the sea's calling to you. Because at that point, it doesn't matter. You're just going to do it. And that's what you've got to teach. That's what's got to be instilled in the, whether it's your teams, the next generation, the young ones, whatever, teach them to love, teach them to be passionate. And then whatever they do to get there is really kind of, those are just steps along the way.
Okay. So in theory, and I love your example about the boat making, because you remind me of something that I actually share with my teams. We didn't even talk, you and I did not even talk about this. So it's really, the irony is actually pretty funny. But all in theory, I think that all sounds beautiful, and it probably sells a lot of tickets to the movie. But in reality, is that feasible? And let me, I'll put it to you this way. I've had employees that have come into my office, and we've talked about being really busy. So we're talking about goals. We're going back to your example of teaching people how to build the boat. And I can get behind that. I get behind the inspirational and the aspirational. But realistically, and the realist that I guess I am, when I have employees that come into my office and they talk about how busy they are, and I say, you know, I will give that to you. I do not doubt that you are extremely busy. But when we're having to refocus and pivot on really having the focus to the goal, I'll tell my employees, I tell my team members, I'll give you the fact that you are busy, but I want you to think about it like this, that we are both sitting in a canoe. So let's use your, in the boat. We're sitting in the boat, we're sitting in the canoe, and we are both paddling like crazy. You are exerting the energy. You are busy. But the problem is you're paddling to the left and I'm paddling to the right. So essentially we're exerting all the energy, but we're going nowhere. So it's not that we're not working hard. We just don't have clarity on the end game as to where we want to be. And so we're working hard, but are we doing the right work? And in that example, we're not doing the right work. So, you know, yeah, it's great to have teams, and I love the teams that I work with. And I think that they're fantastic people and they're driven, but you still have to have clarity of what the end game is. You still have to know ultimately what we're going to do is build that boat. And to your example, yeah, you want people to see and be inspired by the end result. But what is that? What if half of that crew starts building the sailboat, but the other half is building the yacht? You're going to meet in the middle. And are you even going to know what you're supposed to build? And people are going to be confused. Right. So you follow me on that?
Oh, I do. I do. So what you're talking about to me are just more milestones and mile markers. So what you got to do is figure out measurements and milestones, because we measure everything. So don't mistake what I'm saying. We're not just kind of frivolous and do what you want. So our analogy here is we're going to play a game, but we all have to play the same game. I mean, if I throw everybody a soccer ball and somebody's trying to play, you know, tennis, well, it's not going to work. At least get on board with what we're doing here. So you've got to have that clarity. The two things that automatically come to mind when you talk about your example, people being busy. My first question to you is, do you know what they're doing? Do you absolutely have a laundry list of what's keeping them busy? Because you're right. You know, I like your example of being in the canoe because you can see them. But I think the more relevant example, if you were to break down what you're talking about, I don't think they're paddling in the other direction. I think they're making a sandwich, or I think they're organizing the boat or repacking the life raft, you know, because that's what's keeping them busy. They're not even out there with an oar in the water with you.
No. And I'll be the first to tell you, I do not micromanage my teams. But what I'm trying to convey to them is I give you the fact that you're busy and you're probably busy with something that's meaningful, but that meaningful work is less meaningful than the work that needs to happen to accomplish the goal, the end game, to contribute to the strategic direction. If we stack ranked what was important or the work to be done, maybe what you're working on is not as critically important and is efficient and is going to get what we need in the time that we have by doing this work or paddling in this direction. So people just need sometimes a refocus. I need to understand how your people know what they're supposed to do every day. Like when they come in.
Yeah.
And how do you know if they're, how do you differentiate? Let me ask you, how do you differentiate a star performer from a contributing performer? How do those people know, or how do you know that you have someone that if you had to pick two people because you were stranded on an island to make your corporation work, that you would pick person A over person B? How in your mind do you reconcile that based on what?
How much they move the needle.
Okay.
That's
perfect. But how much they move the needle, what is the reference point to where the needle is, to where the success is, to where the end game is? Like, how do you know moving the needle is a little bit compared to moving the needle a lot? What is the scope of the needle? What is the scope of the measurement?
All of it. Oh, it's business impact. Yeah. So when we think about a lot of things, and this is a for another conversation, but okay. I think the biggest fallacy in our business is ROI. I think that's a bunch of crap. And if you don't believe me, the answer is, what is your most profitable product in your portfolio? It's a home loan. If you're in this business, have you allocated every single dollar at every single minute of every labor hour towards selling home loans? Because if you do it to anything else, you have a, by definition, an inefficient model. So if you haven't done that, then don't even pretend to think about ROI.
No, I disagree. I stand behind ROI. Now, granted, I will say this to agree with you. I have had conversations with my board members where we argue some points of, you know, the business that we're in marketing and advertising, where they say, tell me how much money that initiative is going to make. And my response is, how valuable are the pants? What's the return on investment of the pants you're wearing? So it's like, well, we can't always tie everything down to a dollar. We can't assign value to the dollar on everything.
I think you can, but I don't want to take us off too much there. So yeah, when we talk about the impact, you look at the business as an aggregate. What are you trying to do? What is your vision? You know, so if you want to get on the water, you want to go explore in our boat example, or what is it that you're trying to do with your membership if you're in the credit union business? For us, we care about engagement and growth. So do you know what metrics matter to your business? If you understand what metrics matter to your business, and you matter, and you understand how the activities interact with that metric, then it's very easy to figure out what types of activities are driving the business forward and what kinds aren't. And so for us, influence is one, thinking influence more like in that influencer social model, where if we have enough impact here, we can do more. Thinking about engagement with the membership, if they will interact with us in different ways, then they're more likely to keep us top of mind. So we do very, very little direct response advertising in that sense. We do a lot of top of mind. We do a lot of branding. However, our business results are through the roof. Up until COVID, we were continuing to have record growth. And even in COVID, I haven't checked the numbers, but we're tracking currently something like 2.6% net membership growth, which in normal times is great for a lot of institutions. To us, it's nowhere near where we need to be. But I think if you were to measure as to the industry as a goal, it'd be great. But again, that shortchanges us again, because if we can do that in this environment, what are we giving up? You know, are we continuing to limit ourselves? So when I think about our top performers in the group, or the ones that stand out, they're moving the projects forward. We're getting diamond awards for our work. We're getting diamond awards is a good example there, where the goal is not to get a diamond award, but if you get a diamond award, it's reinforcement. I mean, we've seen how the judging goes. We know what it takes to win one. So if you earn a diamond award, it's another milestone. It's just another data point to say you're doing the right things. Reality is we're moving towards something else. And so we've got all these mile markers along the way that let us know that we're going on the right track. So whoever's accumulating the most of these mile markers, you know, I guess by definition, then they're going to be the star performers on the team. So if I'm stranded on the island, I want the one that's covered the most miles.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is you're equating the milestone to the goal.
It's a measurement system. I'm not against measurement systems.
Yeah.
But I'm opposed to the measurement system being the outcome. So if you're saying, so by definition, the goal is what you're trying to achieve. So to me, that's not what we're trying to achieve. Now, the goal as a measurement system, that's fine. So if we achieve that goal on our way to something else, that's fine. And then that's great, because we can measure that. You know, when we broke $2 billion in assets, I wrote a little quick blog where we never wanted to be $2 billion in assets. That's not a goal of ours, but it's a milestone. It's a huge milestone. So when we exceeded that, we'd stop. But our CEO, John, when we were talking about it, he said, you know, sometimes you just need to stop, pull up for a moment, look backwards to realize how far you've come, and you celebrate your successes, and then you put your head down and you keep going. And so that's what that is. Now, if the goal was $2 billion, then we would have shortchanged ourselves, because we're continuing to exceed that. But if it's a milestone that you celebrate along the way to something else, it's definitely something to stop and pull up and celebrate on and measure. Because then you don't know how far you've come if you're not measuring along the way. But it just can't be your outcome.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I mean, you can't just acknowledge a $2 billion mark and then say, okay, now let's turn the lights off.
Right.
You know, it's the strategy is the vision. It's an ongoing state of mind in perpetuity that you are constantly working toward the next biggest thing. It's not like you just stop and then sit down and say you're done. I do get behind that.
That's absolutely it. So when we think about creativity, when we're building a commercial or a video, we'll continue to iterate on it. So we might win an award for something, but then the next time we do it, it's not sufficient to rinse, launder, and repeat. That's not what we're doing. So now it's like, how do we take it to the next level? How do we go bigger? How do we break our own mold? Now that we've set the framework and we set the rules, how do we break the rules in pursuit of something bigger? And how do we continue to systematize and continue to move forward and build greater engagement? Because that's what we're doing along the way.
Do you ever have employees, though, that come to you, or team members that come to you and say, Royce, how do I know if my performance is good enough in your mind? How do I know that I am meeting your expectations? What does that conversation look like?
Yeah, so we at no point, at any point in time, and I tell the team this, all of my direct reports, they know how they're doing. They know. You don't have to tell a star performer how they're doing. In your canoe example, if you had 20 people in the canoe, they know how they're doing in that canoe based on how much they're contributing, based on what's happening, based on the dynamics, based on everything else, based on Mia saying, hey, Joe, great job. Sally, awesome. Michael, pick it up a little bit. They know every step of the way, and they're evaluating themselves along the way to what work is happening in the group. So they know what you're different. What we struggle with isn't that they don't know how they're doing. It's that they don't like what they're doing, or they don't like where we're going, or they don't like how we're measuring it. More often than not, I will get feedback from one of my leaders about another leader saying, hey, just got to tell you, Mia's killing it this week. I don't know if you're seeing what she's doing, but over here, here, and here, and it's making, you know, it's moving our projects forward. So even they'll provide feedback on themselves when they're doing it. So everybody knows how they're doing, but whether or not they agree with it or whether or not they like it, that's where the gaps start to exist. Because not everybody fits into what we're doing.
I was just going to say, as I'm listening to you talk about that, how many people do you know, colleagues, friends in your circle, family members, et cetera, that have left a job at some point in their career? And when you talk to them about that, they say, you know, I was really working hard. I thought I was a star performer. I was meeting, you know, all the expectations, or so at least I thought, but my CEO, we didn't see eye to eye. They just didn't think I was measuring up. It's like, that's clearly a disconnect. And, you know, we can have a conversation about that, what coaching looks like, et cetera, et cetera. My point is, though, is that when I ask, you know, how do your team members know what's expected of them? In that example, that's someone who's rowing to the right and somebody who's rowing to the left. You see what I'm saying? That it you is. Think you're performing and you're doing what's yeah. required, and you, in your mind, you're doing the important work, but so, there's someone who's signing your check that doesn't think so. How do you reconcile that?
Well, all I can think of is one of my favorite Albert Einstein quotes, and it's the, if you judge the intelligence of a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll live its whole life thinking that it's stupid. And so what's your...
Where do you pull this?
That is a question my team ask all the time. That is the typical reaction of one of my meetings.
That question coming from your team makes total sense.
Yes, yes. Where do you come up with this? And the other one is, how do you know that? Because I have literally walked them in my commute to work through spreadsheets and telling them where the data sits. And they're, how do you know that? You know, so those I'm used to. So coming back, what you've got there definitely is a disconnect. You've got the fish out of water, or you've got the wrong measurement systems and they don't fit. So a lot of times, that goes back to that interview process. That's where you've got to start to figure out how to screen them out. And I will admit that there's a lot of things that you learn as you come over time. And I'm not perfect. And there's a million things that I've missed. And so there's different techniques that I continue need to refine and learn on as you think about that. But that's where it is. You've got a goal disconnect. You know, they might not have that and that love for the immensity of the sea. They might want to go explore the desert, or they might want to climb the highest mountain. There's nothing wrong with that. And they might have the skill sets to do that. That's just not the journey that we're on. So where you start having employee disconnects because they're not on that same journey with you. Well, one thing I do want, just before we leave the audience thinking that it's all the, you know, contemplating our navels and dreaming, then the one thing to preface all of that with is, even in the quote, the thing coming into this is your teams have to be experts. They have to be so accomplished in what they do. We're not talking about training here. We're not, and there's always a misnomer in my mind when we think about like rookies joining any professional sports. Yes, they are rookies to this professional league, but they've all been training for as much of their lives as physically possible for the most part. I mean, there are the exceptions, but by the time an average athlete enters pro, they're rookies in the sport, but they've been training for 12 to 18 years. You know? So in our business here, before you can go out there and start, you know, exploring the sea, we're not talking about teaching somebody how to chop wood. We're talking about accomplished craftsmen. And so your teams, as you build your teams, they all have to already be accomplished. then you can move to this level. And that's why we're at the leadership experiment. If you're in a different place, team building, resource building, you know, if you're in that stage, then this piece, you can't start applying that. And you've got to go back to the training. And I think that's another podcast, Mia, because the question is, how much time are we training? A lot of my sports analogies involves a lot, hundreds of hours of training. So, and I don't mean for us going to a conference or sitting on a webinar. How much training are we actually doing? And our teams here are doing a lot of training. So how much training do we actually do?
I love that, because it does speak a little bit to a previous episode of ours where we talked about the skill gap and what do you do? And you answered that. I remember you said, when I asked, what do? When you have the skill gap, you said, you go get the training, you go get it. So you have to be a self-starter to recognize that. So I totally agree with you. I have a good friend of mine that says, talent is not the thing that you cheap out on. You have to go after the best talent. And when you do that, I do agree with you that you will have troopers on your team that will work toward the end game with you and will bring their intelligence and their knowledge and their experience to the table to help you accomplish that. And together, that's really powerful. Yeah. So if you have to explain every step of the way and micromanage, then yeah, you're definitely at a different level. And I just mean that in the sense that maybe your team is green, maybe your team, you've got some inexperienced folks that you're building along the way. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that, because we've all had to start
there.
Yeah,
you're bringing them along. But, yeah, and so what you're talking about there, that's the Jack Welch 101, you know, hire people smarter than me and get out of their way. You know, so as long as your goal and your leader's goal and the business goals are matched horses, you're on the same road together. The minute those goals start to diverge, that's when the conflict comes.
I think you just made my argument because I heard you say goal. You made my
argument. You're like, that's the end of this podcast. So we will see you next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Leadership Experiment with Royce and Mia. If you enjoyed this episode and know somebody else that might like it, send it on. And if you didn't, but want to punish your friends, send it anyway.
And for a change of pace, join us for our Friday happy hour question and answer show, where we pour a cocktail and answer your most burning questions. If you'd like to pick our brains, Royce, that's gross. Simply email us at happyhour@royceandmia.com. Names will be changed to protect the guilty. So until next time,
keep the shiny side up.